Hey, this is Jake Owen, and this is Good Company.
We in good company.
Welcome to Good Company, yeah. A podcast where we talk about everything under the sun. Friends, good times, and life.
We in good company.
Oh. Now, here's your host, Jake.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's Jake. I'm back for another episode of Good Company right here. Good Company with Jake. The podcast, my buddy Tommy Cecil is laughing in the background right now because if it wasn't for Tommy Cecil, the idea of Good Company might not have come around, right?
Yeah, that was the idea of my phone.
Y'all, this is Tommy Cecil, by the way. Y'all say, what's up? Tommy Cecil!
What's up, Jake World?
What's up, man? So I asked Tommy to come in and do this podcast. Usually, I give a little intro about who I'm having on the show this week, but we can just hop right into it with you, Tommy. I mean, geez,
let's talk about
Tommy
it.
Is an amazing singer, songwriter, producer here in town that I've got to know over the last few years through some great mutual friends of ours, the guys in Parmalee, and it's been about a couple years ago,
yeah,
that I was making my last album. And you've always sent me a few songs here and there, but you sent me good company.
Yeah, I hijacked your email from from a few friends, and I was like,
that's
hey,
how
man.
It happens, man. Got to be ruthless.
I was like, hey, man, we've kind of met in the past, but I just feel like there's this synergy.
And that's exactly what you said in your email. You said, I feel like we've kind of met, man.
I feel like if you could hear a few of these songs, man, like, I feel like one of them might catch your ear. And you were awesome, dude. You were like, send them. It was like midnight, so
yeah.
Hell, I sent him a couple songs, and Good Company was one of them. And
yeah, so
the rest is history.
That's a good story about supposedly they'd finished Good Company. I'm not trying to take over your story, but you guys had kind of finished it. You're walking out for the day, right? And you'd already sent me some songs, and you didn't want to send an extra one.
Yeah. I got to give credit to Matt Alderman, who is
another great singer-songwriter. He's a writer on the song along with our buddy Jared Mullins, which we'll get into that whole crew later.
Yeah, but I was getting ready to leave that day. I had shut my computer down. I literally locked the door on the studio. We were outside on the second floor getting ready to walk down the stairs. He goes, dude, you got to send that song to Jake. I was like, man, I've already sent him the song we wrote that day, and because we was intentionally trying to write something that you might dig. And he's like, no, it's Good Company. And I said, dude, do you really believe this? He goes, yeah, man. So I went back in and I turned it. It took about 10 minutes for the whole computer to fire up. And it was an older one. So
I sent the song. And I remember where I was. Believe it or not, I was actually going through a divorce. I was pulling into, at the time, I was remodeling my house out in Kingston Springs. And I'd had this townhouse that I'd owned for a long time that I lived in long before I got married. And then when I got married is the reason I bought that home out west of town. And since it was under remodel, I just had an air mattress at the time on the floor in this townhouse that had no furniture in it in Bellevue. Because I was just trying to figure it all out at that point. And at the time, new label heads had come in at my record label. You sent me that song. And I literally remember I was pulling into Woodbury Falls out in Bellevue, Woodbury Falls Drive, into my townhouse, and I played it, and it had such a cool acoustic-y kind of demo thing going, which is one thing that Tommy does really well with the demos and stuff that he and his buddies do. And I just was like, this is it. Plus, I just like songs in general, and that's what this whole podcast started all about, is that it's called Good Company with Jake, and that idea came from this song, Tommy, that you wrote, because it just makes you feel good. I like to feel good, and being around people like you and my friends and family, and that's what life should be about, especially in today's world right now. We got a lot of stuff out there that's kind of negative, you know? Let's talk about some positive stuff. So anyway, we recorded the song. I worked it up with the band on the road. We were playing it, and we went got Tommy and Matt and Jared out on the boat out in the Cumberland River and filmed some stupid video stuff. But we were all fired up because, I mean, I had a huge part in helping kind of produce that with the guys in my band. You guys, it was your first song together as a single on the radio.
With Jared Mullins and
Matt Alderman, yeah. And so we were just fired up about it. And it's funny how you can get so fired up about something like that. And then, you know, the song itself petered out in the I don't even know where you would know, probably.
It was in the mid-30s. As a songwriter, you write the song, you don't really control the journey after that. So what happened with the song, it's a shame. But you've seen us play it live.
People love it. Yeah, I mean, look what's come from it.
Yeah.
Everything from, just the way people, we added horns in our band the last couple of years because of that song. And it's just cool. So, God, man, it's funny because it's instances like that that kind of lead people, especially in this town of in Nashville, to kind of getting to know each other and stuff. And we had some pretty fun times over the last couple of years. Speaking of Matt Alderman and Jared Mullins, who we should have had in here this morning. We're shining the spotlight on Tommy Cecil. And funny story. I think we can tell this story too. One of the first times I met Tommy, I think I'd come over there to sing a demo. Which was a demo of a song that I think ended up making Kane Brown's record.
Yeah, it's on Kane Brown's record. It's called Rockstars.
Rockstar, yeah. Putting my voice on it. And Tommy said something about, hey, when you sing this, dude, you just want to go like line for line for line.
I said line for line, and Jared happened to be there, and he said line for line for line. And I think, what'd you say after that?
You said, you mean like shot for shot for shot? and I was just like, oh, please don't. I love Luke Bryan. I love Luke. I love Kerry, their whole camp. But everybody's got that one song that just kind of like gets on their nerves, you know? And that one at the time was getting on my nerves. And it was on all the time. And I was just like, Luke's everywhere. And so this is just funny how life is. And he's like, yeah, like shot for shot. And I'm like, no, not like shot for shot. I can't hear that song right now. And he's like, dude, I wrote that song.
No, he looked at me and I had this like, are you kind of joking look on my face? And he goes, why did you write that? I had no clue. And I was like, yeah, man. And he was like, you're kidding me. And he goes, I still don't like the song.
But that's what's funny about us as friends. Funny, right? We all write songs. We all do things. I mean, I've put out songs that people flat out tell me. They're like, I hate that song. My twin brother, I'll play him a song that I love that I wrote. And he's like, I can't stand that song. I hate it. That's how it's like, music is art, man. You know, you think about it. And I've put it in perspective that way that, how many times have you walked in a hotel or someone's house or something and seen like this piece of art or a picture on their wall that they live with every day? They walk by, they see it, it's a part of their home, their house, whatever, that you would never put on your wall. You know what I mean? That's how music is for people. Like they just, you know. Anyway, so we got
it's cool that you talk about just like this town and how that happened and meeting each other like that randomly. And the synergy of this town, and like that song, for instance, was with Karen Fairchild that Luca did.
Yeah,
and
who's awesome. Who's amazing.
Well, there's another just crazy Nashville story involving her. I was in Home Depot. It was around Christmas time, and I'm looking at these.
What were you buying at Home Depot?
I think I was going in there for more Christmas lights. We was definitely.
Dude, you can't buy Christmas lights at Christmas time. They rip you off, man. Like,
I couldn't help it. We needed a few more to go around the tree, and I'm sitting there looking at these lights. And I look beside me. I was like, that looks like Karen.
Karen
and
Fairchild.
I'd never met her. Like, even though we kind of.
But you totally wanted to tell her that you wrote that song.
Well, I just wanted to meet her. I'm like, that's crazy. So I tapped on her shoulder. I'm like. Are you?
How creepy is that?
Are you?
Why didn't you just say, "Hey, Karen"? Like, what? Someone's shoulder? Creepy
I was
like that.
Are you Karen? She's like, yeah. I was like, they don't even look like. Yeah, she was dressed down, and it was cool. So I finally got to meet her in the most weirdest of circumstances. But again, that's kind of Nashville, and even like how I met Jake, and this town. It just the longer you're here, you keep falling into those situations.
Hey, so we got to tell this story. This is great. So through this time, we've just had a blast, like getting to know each other and hanging out and just like outside of music, like having a good friendship. And there's been lots of things like you have these grand ideas of doing. And one of the first things we did was one of the first trips that we went on that kind of got the name for you and Jared and Matt. They call like as the Pura Vida crew is we went to Costa Rica. On a last-minute trip, and I just wanted to get out of Nashville, man. I was like, let's just go to Costa Rica. My twin brother, I called him. I said, let's go, and I called Tommy. I was like, why don't you and Matt and Jared, since it was like this right around this time, Good Company had just recorded it, and we were like thinking it's going
to
be.
Let me get this a little more straight. He calls at 12 o'clock on a Thursday night and says he wants to leave, I think, Monday for Costa. I'm like, man, I don't even have a.
You didn't have a passport.
Didn't have a passport.
None of you guys did. Matt Alderman was in Alaska.
He was in Alaska on some riding I don't even know. I think he produces Dylan Scott, so I think those two might have been up there at that time. I can't remember, but
Ooh, baby girl.
I love Dylan, man. He's awesome.
We all love Dylan. Shout out, Dylan.
Shout out, Dylan Scott. But anyway, it was funny because then we had to figure out how to get a passport, and I was making phone calls everywhere. I was like, man, this is going to be the trip I don't want to miss. So we ended up, I think.
Y'all drove to Atlanta.
Went to Atlanta.
Got a passport, got on a plane, and met us in Costa Rica, Florida, or was it Miami before we flew to go?
Yeah, Miami, I think.
So, yeah, we go down to Costa Rica. We had a blast. It was fun. And we come back, I guess it's maybe like 3 or 4 months later. At the time now, I was thinking, you know what? I was on my other label. I was like, I want to make another summer EP album. And what's a better place to make a summer EP album than Mexico? And I had some private flight time that I hadn't used up yet that I'd done some bartering for. And so I called him up again. I'm like, you guys want to get a private jet and go to Mexico? And
that was a no-brainer.
That was a no-brainer. And what the funniest part was, we didn't know. This is the greatest part. We get down there and we forget that it's like spring break.
It happened to be spring break for high school kids. It was something. It was crazy. I mean,
it was wild.
We was right in the middle of it. Yeah. Accidentally.
And it was just hilarious because I said, well, I've never been to Mexico, and if I'm gonna go down there, I want to do it right. You know, I want to do it. So we went to the Hard Rock Hotel and got it. They had the suite called the Rockstar Suite. And I'm like,
I mean, the whole experience, it just sounds like, all right, look, we want to go into Costa Rica. We want to do this VIP. Let's do this big.
So we go down there and get this Rockstar Suite at the Hard Rock Hotel. And like the first night, it's like 11 o'clock. We're in there making music. Like Tommy brought his speakers and like we got our computers. I mean, we're literally, we wrote some great songs down there. And I'm thinking it's the Rockstar Suite. So, I mean, you can act pretty rock star in this suite.
Yeah.
And it was like 11 o'clock. They're like knocking on our door. They're like, you guys have to turn the music off. We have people sleeping around here. That's I'm like, yeah. This is a rock star suite, man. It's 11 o'clock at night.
One of that room or the other. I mean, it comes equipped with speakers. Specifically, it is meant for rock stars to come there and make music. And we're making music, and they're shutting us down. And on top of that, there was a language barrier between a lot of these people, and it was a disaster trying to figure this out.
It was a total disaster, man. Oh, man.
So they moved.
One of the funnier things was, if you remember the first day we walked down, our buddy Jared Mullins is a great guy when it comes to puns. And we're going to have to have another podcast here soon where I get all three of you guys in here together. We walked out to the bar. It literally should have been a movie. Like, we should have, the way we got there. I mean, who goes to Mexico? Who flies to Mexico on a private jet? Like, right. That only reason that happened was because of like something I did as a barter deal for a show. So it's like, I got to use these hours. Let's go. It was only like 2 hours. It's only 2 hour flight to Mexico from Nashville.
It's insanely close. I had no clue.
So we get there, we walk out at the bar. There was a bartender there with this name tag on, Jesus, Jesus, right? And he asks us all, he said, what would you like to drink, amigo? Or, you know, and so I ordered like Bahama Mama, and we're all ordering up these like, you know, tropical cocktails, and Jared goes, I don't know, what would Jesus do? WWJD, bro. Jesus went margarita on us, but God, man, we have some funny times. But dude, I want to know, and I think people out there want to know, and I've been talking to just random folks that I'm friends with that are in this crazy music business. I laugh at you because you're just you're a kid from Kentucky. You grew up in Kentucky. You loved music, obviously, growing up, all kinds of music.
Yeah.
But what was the one thing that coming from, I mean, where? Well, Pikeville? Where are you from?
Bartstown.
Bartstown, yeah. Kentucky.
Pikeville.
Pikeville.
Nothing against Pikeville. definitely Bartstown.
All right. So Bartstown, what made you say, I'm going to Nashville? Start writing tunes.
Well, there's actually, from our hometown, there's actually a well-known songwriter, James Dean Hicks.
And, oh, yeah.
And he's had a bunch of songs that...
He's amazing.
You know, that he's a great everybody singer. Would know. He's a great singer, good guy. And I didn't necessarily get into this to follow his path, but I knew that he had done this because he's a distant relative to me. And started writing songs over a breakup, I think, when I was 18. And the more you look into it, I realized that people do this for a living. So it was a little mind-blowing to figure that out. And even living so close to Nashville, I'm about 3 hours away, it still took me 10 years to get here. And I felt like I wanted to wait until my songs were good enough because there's so many people who are trying to make it. If you get that meeting you're waiting for and you play a bad song, they're probably not going to want to meet you again or help you get to the next person. So I waited for a long time until I felt like I had some good songs. And my story's really crazy. It involves Barbara Cloyd at the Bluebird, who does the open mics. She has been an angel to me. She helped me meet Scott Gunner at Universal at the time. And that was my first publisher meeting. And Scott, you know, over the period of that year, ended up offering me a deal, but for different reasons it didn't work out. And made my way through the town, and that's kind of how it works in Nashville. You meet one person, and then next thing you know, yep. you go through the web and you start figuring out things for yourself and how you want to attack this town. And
I think I tell people all the time, and I want you to tell them, but I think not just this business in this town, but I think life's like that. If you put yourself out there and you're open-minded about who you're meeting and you're smart about it, and you not leverage yourself in a selfish way, but you really learn from people, like you said, like it didn't work out at Universal. So like for reasons that probably would lead you elsewhere, right? That's how my life.
Well, was. My guy there at the time offered me a deal, and he, to this day, he says, you're the only writer in 25 years that asked me this question. He offered me the deal, and I said, awesome. And I had read a lot about publishing, so I felt like I knew it from an outsider's point of view. So I said, if you offer me this deal and I do this, will you promise to stay here for the terms of my deal? And he's like, absolutely. And then it was about a week later, he called back and he said, man, something's been pulling at my heart. He's like, I'm not going to be here in 6 months. And he's like, I'm your biggest fan, man. And if I can sign you and get you here in the system and get you going, but... And he's like, do you still want to do the deal? And I'm like, man, I don't think that's the right place for me. If my dude's going to leave, it's all about that person in Nashville. So
yeah, you got to have somebody believing in you. Yeah. Well, what would you say if to somebody that's – I mean, I'm sure people ask you all the time. I hear it all the time. It's either a parent or it's some kid will come up and they'll say – or I see it on Instagram. People send me messages and they're like, hey, look, man, I'm from, you know, wherever and a small town here and all I want to do is write country songs. I love country music.
Right.
And they say, give me one piece of advice. That's the hardest answer to give to people.
It's an open-ended question because to this day, there's not a roadmap to do this. But my thing I tell anybody is, like, if you want to do it, you got to do it. And I have a friend back home, Jeff Ely, and he always had the saying, he's like, don't talk about it, be about it. So, if you really want to do this, you just start doing it. And you hope things fall into place. But even at the level I'm at, there's still no guarantees of – anything. So you just, you know, I write the best songs I can with the best people I can, and I treat it like a job. I show up every day. I work many hours after the write's over, completing the songs and the tracks, and there's a lot of songs nobody ever hears, and that's the weird thing about this town, and I'd love for everybody to hear all those songs.
Well, they're getting ready to hear a song. So how crazy is this? This podcast with you, Tommy Cecil, will be out tonight. And first thing in the morning, you'll be able to hear the world premiere of I Was Jack and You Were Diane, which
Hell
is a song
yeah.
that Tommy is a writer on. And it's my brand new single. We're all really excited about it. And I'm excited for you, man, because
– I'm excited for you, man.
I'm excited for all of us, right? How crazy is it that it's worked out this way? It's funny. I mean, how we meticulously kind of went about Good Company and how it didn't work out the way we thought it did. And Tommy came over to the house. It's been, a couple months ago. We were having a bonfire down by the creek. And I was like, hey, man, you got to hear this song that I got today.
Yeah, that story is crazy. I had no clue that Jake heard it. He didn't know I'd wrote it.
I didn't even know. And I was like, check this out. And I opened up my truck door on this old F-250 that I have, 95. Yeah. And I was like, check this out. And I played the song, I Was Jack, You Were Diane. He listens to about a minute and a half of it. And he goes, dude, I wrote that song. And I was like, no, you didn't. He's like, yes, I did. And so I'll let you tell everyone, because people are going to want to know how this song came about. People are already asking me, I mean, what do you, you know, yeah. How does John Mellencamp feel about this? But so
it's
because people are going to want to know this story. So why don't you go ahead and tell how, because I'd love to know the exact way this all went down, because you told me about Jody and David Ray.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to the song actually coming about. But the biggest thing that created the song, it definitely came out of Jody Stevens' brain, this idea to take Jack and Diane and do something different with it. And he had laid out that track template of possibly, you know, sampling
that guitar part.
And sampling means you use somebody else's, you know, usually
it's rhythm or signature.
It's their track stuff or their vocal part. But his idea was to do that and then sing a different song over it. It was crazy. Me and him, David Ray, and Craig Wiseman got together and wrote this song. And, you know, Craig is amazing at what he does, and he continues to have songs all over the radio, and he's been like a mentor to me. So it's going to be awesome for something that we did together, you know, to actually get out there, because he was somebody I looked up to before I ever moved to town, and you know, I pinch myself sometimes that I get to work with him. But
we're writing on Thursday together, man.
It's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be awesome. But when it got down to the end of that chorus and the song hooks with "I was Jack and you were Diane," and we're pretty much reliving back when we heard that song for the first time and you know how we grew up, and as much as I love the twist on it, I mean, Craig will tell you, I was pretty much like, man, I don't know if we should literally hook this song with "I was Jack and you were Diane." I mean, we're using Jack and Diane, and I was definitely concerned that it was, you know, getting too close to the original, just putting those two words. But
what was the rebuttal to that? Yeah, what did Craig say? I mean, that's the point, right?
I
mean,
I don't remember exactly, but Craig definitely let us know. You know, this is probably what it should be. We definitely fished around.
He would know.
Oh, he knows. Sometimes it'll make you mad because he'll give you his. You know, it's not really his opinion. It's pretty much like, hey, I really think it's like should be like this. And when Craig says something, I mean, you'd be crazy to not listen. Just everything he puts together has. He has a way of saying something in a song, and we explored other ways of hooking this chorus, but it always felt best when we landed on that. So once we finished the song, I think Craig reworked the vocal a few different times and got the pocket just right. And from that point, Craig is actually one of the owners of the coolest new label in town, Big Loud. I think it's just Big Loud.
Yeah, Big Loud
is the label, and that's where Jake's at now, and they're having amazing success right
now. It's just weird the way
everybody.
It's all worked out. It's kind
of
so cool.
And I think somebody over there, Seth, or somebody had heard it. Joey, who's producing Jake,
yeah.
I think everybody was excited and to send it to Jake. And Jake felt the same way that everybody else did when they heard it for the first time. And that's the reaction it continues to keep getting, is on the first listen, you're like, whoa, did they just put those two together? So I just feel like it's really different. And then obviously – John Mellencamp had to be contacted to.
Oh, yeah, and with his approval, he was all on board. So
he was excited about it, I think.
Speaking of which, we'll give you a little sample here. You might be able to get a little snippet of this right before it comes out tomorrow when you hear the world premiere. So we'll give you just a little snippet. Check this out real quick.
It was yesterday. It was years ago. We were singing every word on the radio. Kind of like them songs could save our souls somehow, some way. We was falling fast, we was jumping in. Blue jean halo hanging off a limb. Two American kids, just like them. Every time we'd play, and it blew us away. Do you turn it up, do you sing along? Every time you hear that song, like we did then, like we did when. Do you close your eyes, does it make you laugh? Do the memories take you back to six packs in a Chevy Cheyenne? Way back when I was Jack and you were dying.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Hey, speaking of outside this kind of thing, a few more things before we get out of here. I was going to ask you, we've had talks, and I think, man, why not? I'm going to put you on the spot right now. So we've had talks about all these songs that you talk about that no one people might not ever hear. And you and I talked the other day for 45 minutes on the phone about these songs that you've written. You've written with Matt or whoever else, Jared. And I said, you should just start putting these songs out. So What are you going to do about that, man? I think there's people out there. There's people that are going to listen to this podcast that are going to want to hear something outside of the songs that they're hearing on the radio that you're doing. And I think so, too. So you guys had this sort of pseudo band name you were going by as We Are Friday Night.
Yeah, it's kind of just a name. And really, we kind of want to keep the image hidden. So I think you got so many songs. There's only a few that get to make it to a J. Cohen or to the radio. And then you have these songs that you feel strongly about and nobody ever gets to hear them. So I was talking with Jake. I was like, man, there's got to be a way that we could just put these out. And we kind of come up with this idea for We Are Friday Night and me and Matt Alderman. And, you know, we was just thinking, let's put some of these songs out. So I think we're trying to get that together.
Well, you should, you know, have a song linked up you could put out. You have a SoundCloud page or something like that?
Yeah, actually, I think we do.
Y'all got to start a SoundCloud page and send us a link today so we can link it up to...
Done deal.
We can give everybody a link to your SoundCloud page when it's posted on our intro.
And we just want to put these songs up with no pretense. Like, we're not trying to be this or that. We're songwriters. We write everything as country as it gets, to as pop as it gets, to as fake, to as real as it gets. Like, we cover everything, and as a writer, that's what you do every day. You're in this situation right here would make, you know, could make me think of something, or, you know, people listening to it.
There's fiction, there's nonfiction, there's documentaries, yeah, there's biographies.
Right.
It's the same way music is, you know. There's you've got all that, and I think it's cool as a great songwriter, which you are, man.
Thank you, man.
I think people will be excited to hear that kind of stuff. So, thanks for coming down here this morning, man. I appreciate it. I told you it wasn't going to be, it was going to be pretty casual. What I love about doing this is the people that I get to talk to and the stories that we get to share, and how it really is about just good people that you're around are inspiring. So, man, thanks for being an inspiring friend. This was like more serious of a conversation today than I thought it would be.
I know, man. Like,
the minute you put your headphones on and got behind the microphone, you went into like professional Tommy Cecil mode. I'm not really sure that.
He doesn't like that. He likes unprofessional Tommy. But
Tommy is a really good freestyle rapper, by the way.
That is not true. I will say some stuff that's probably every once in a while one of the lines sounds good, but. I would not call myself that, but
well, I'm going to get you and the whole rest of the Pura Vida crew.
I think that would be great.
Back on here, that's when we'll really get some funny laughs going, and maybe we can do like we should do a podcast one day. Each of my podcasts are about 30 minutes long, so we should give ourselves a 30 minute. We'll just let the mics run. We'll talk. Give ourselves like a 30 minute time limit to write a complete song and have it put down by the end of the podcast.
We can do that. That'd be fun.
I think we should do that. That would be fun. So, dude, everybody, y'all give it up for Tommy Cecil from Kentucky.
I was about to
say Pikeville again just to make you mad, but Bartstown. What's up, Bull Butter? In the house.
Oh, my God. A shout out to Bull Butter.
He's got a friend named Bull Butter. How do you even get that? I mean, I guess being from Kentucky, man. How do you get a name called Bull Butter?
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Roy D. Mercer. He used to put out these comedy tapes.
Well, how big a boy are you?
And that was one of his lines he would say. And Bull Butter's a really good friend. But when he likes something and it's new and it's fresh, he will wear you out with it. And Bull Butter is the line that he wore out for years. And, I mean, this was back when I was 17, 18 years old.
So it's stuck.
Oh, it's stuck with him. And to this day, most people know him as Bull Butter. And when you hear the name once, you don't forget it. So, shout out to Bull Butter and Big Tom.
And Bartstown.
Big Tom over at Sony. He was.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to him this morning.
Tom Luteran.
Tom Luteran, man. He's fantastic.
Good dude.
So.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for coming by. I know you're headed off to write, and I guess I'll see you on Thursday. We're going to write on Thursday with the great Craig Wiseman. So,
thanks
everybody, for listening. Appreciate you. This has been another rundown episode of Good Company. And we'll get the Pura Vida boys in here sometime soon. And until next time, we'll play you.